got my wife with me this year, and that's a blessing. And we're just glad to be here. I noticed eating up in the cafeteria, I noticed as we walked through and looking at the pictures, Sister Duncan, ladies have hung on the wall. I know a lot of y'all have been coming for a long time up here, and I know that by the pictures, because some of you had hair back then, now you don't, and some of you a little heavier now, and back then you wouldn't. But I can understand why that you keep coming back. So we hope the Lord allow us to keep coming back also. You want me to just preach with this mic? Or?
Just for now.
Okay. All right. Well, while he's fixing that mic, if you'd turn this morning to the book of Jonah this morning, I want to read the scriptures here. Maybe he'll have the mic ready by the time I get the scriptures read. And Jonah chapter 1 and verse 1. If you want to stand, you can this morning. The Bible said, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And he went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind unto the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship unto the sea, to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, so he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise and call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. And they said, Every one to his fellow, come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. They said unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us, and what is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and to what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and they said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he had fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. And then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought, and was tumultuous. And he said unto them, Take me up, and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tumultuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life. Lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased to raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Thank you, may be seated. Father, we thank you this morning for, Lord, the privilege and the honor, Lord, to even be asked, Lord, to preach at a meeting like this. And Lord, I pray that you'll help me, Lord, to do my best for you, and Lord, to be able to preach the Word of God and do best of all, first for you, Lord, and then for this pastor that's asked us to preach. God, stir our hearts. I know without you, we can do nothing. Take the Word of God, this message that you put in my heart, and preach it out of me into others' hearts today. We'll be careful to give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I want to preach to you this morning just for a few minutes about the best servant in the book of Jonah. Now, as we look at this morning, of course, the main servant in the book of Jonah is Jonah. But when we really think about it, Jonah was not truly that great a servant. He was like many of us. We read that Jonah shied away from the will of the Lord. What God wanted him to do, he shied away from it. Many times in my life, I've shied away from the will of the Lord, and I'm sure that you have too. We find that he slept while he was supposed to be working for the Lord. Many times you and I find ourselves sleeping when we ought to be working for the Lord.
Then in chapter 4 we find that he sorrowed about the ways of the Lord. He didn't like the way God handled things. Many times you and I don't like the way that God handles things. Amen. God's ways are not our ways many times. And we sometimes, like Jonah, go along with it, but we sorrow about it. But I want to preach this morning about the best servant in the book of Jonah. I heard about three or four years ago a preacher use this text. I never heard the message, but when I heard his text, you preachers understand it, just laid on my heart, and it's been laying there for a long time. Now, I heard he preach that text. A little later after that, I read a sermon by a Methodist preacher. And it was called A Whale of a Prayer, talking about the prayer that Jonah prayed out of the belly of the whale. But I want to preach to you this morning about the best servant in the book of Jonah. You say, well, if it's not Jonah, Brother Rick, I don't really see any other servants in the book of Jonah. Well, in verse 17, there is a servant there, and it's the whale. I want to preach this morning on a whale of a servant this morning. And I want to say three things about that whale that made him a great servant. The first thing I want to say about him this morning is found in that 17th verse where the Bible said, now the Lord had prepared a great fish. I want to say that this whale was a great servant, a whale of a servant, because he was prepared by the Lord. The Lord prepared this servant. Now, I believe that the Lord could have done like he did over in the book of Genesis, chapter 1 and verse 21. I believe the Lord could have just spoke and the whale would have just been there. I believe the Bible said in God created great whales. And I believe the Lord simply spoke and the waters were filled with great whales. But I don't believe that God made this whale that way. I believe God raised this whale from a minnow. You say, why do you believe that, Brother Rick? Because great servants are not made overnight. They're not made in a moment. But they're made through years of the Lord growing them and teaching them and feeding them on the things of the Lord. You know, I got to thinking about whales. And I got to just trying to learn a little bit about whales. And I found out immediately on the first glance in an encyclopedia three interesting things about a whale. The first thing I found out was that whales have huge hearts. I found out that a whale's heart weighs anywhere from 1,000 to 4,000 pounds. It has four huge cavities within that heart. And it pumps 5,000 gallons of blood through that heart. A whale has a huge heart. You say, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying to be a whale of a servant, you got to have a huge heart. Amen. I tell you, great servants have great hearts. You say, preacher, how do you get a big heart? Well, I got to noticing, and every time you break something, it gets bigger. If you break a vase and glue it back together, it's a little bit bigger. If you break a bone and it mends back together, it's a little bit bigger in the place that it's broke. And I believe the way that God makes our hearts bigger is that God breaks them over and over and over again through the trials and adversities and the things of life. Amen. Most of us Baptists, we need the Lord to do for us today what happened to that old Grinch and the Grinch that stole Christmas. We need our heart to grow about 10 sizes today for the lost and the things of God. Amen. But yeah, whales have a huge heart. Then I found this out. I found in the Encyclopedia Britannica said that whales never fully sleep. That they sleep only halfway. They not only have a huge heart, but they only sleep halfway. And it literally said they sleep with one eye open all the time. Can I tell you, to be a great servant of God, you not only need a huge heart, but you got to stay awake. You can't go asleep on God. You got to stay awake because their adversary, the devil, like a roaring lion, stalks about seeking whom he may devour. Amen. But they never go fully asleep. And then I found this out about whales. It said that they have a song. They make lyrical sounds. They actually call it whale songs. Can I tell you, a great servant of God, he must not only have a huge heart. Can I tell you, he must not only just sleep halfway, but he also has to have a song in his heart, thank God. I'm telling you, great servants of God, they never go around with a long face all the time. They never go around moaning and groaning and complaining all the time. But those great servants of God, they always have a song, amen. I thought about in the Bible, Job said, that great servant of God, that God Himself said, have you noticed my servant Job? The Bible said, Job said, he gives me songs in the night, thank God. I thought about the Apostle Paul, that great servant of God, that many times he'd start out his book saying, Paul, a servant of the Lord. Can I tell you that at midnight, Paul had a song, thank God. Yes, can I tell you tonight though, I want to tell you this morning that I'll tell you a whale of a servant. It's not the whale and not Jonah, but the greatest servant in the Bible is the Lord Jesus, amen. Can I tell you, he was a whale of a servant. Can I tell you, he had a huge heart. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. But Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Can I tell you that Jesus, thank God, was a whale of a servant. But can I tell you that he never sleeps all the time. The disciples thought he was fast asleep. Oh, but he knew about the storm. He knew everything was going to be all right. Can I tell you that Jesus is a whale of a servant? Can I tell you he had a song on the darkest night that ever fell upon humanity when they got through with their supper and he's headed to Calvary? He said, why don't we sing a hymn? And the Bible said they sung a hymn before they went out that night. Amen. Can I tell you that whales are prepared by the Lord? And the Bible said that God hath prepared him a body. Amen. Oh, thank God this morning. I'm glad that Jesus was a whale of a servant. That's why Isaiah said, behold, in Isaiah 52, Isaiah said, behold, my servant. Amen. Yes, he was prepared by the Lord. Can I tell you something else about a whale of a servant? Not only are they prepared by the Lord, but verse 15. So they took up Jonah and they cast him forth into the sea. Verse 17. Now the Lord had prepared a great servant to swallow up Jonah. Not only was he prepared by the Lord, but he was placed by the Lord. That whale was exactly in the spot where that he was supposed to be, thank God. Can I tell you that whales of a servant, they're right at the place where God wants them to be, amen. Oh, listen, what a sad day that would have been for Jonah if that whale wasn't there when God told him to be. When they throwed that preacher overboard, he would have went down to the bottom and that would have been the end of Jonah. Oh, but thank God the Lord had told that whale, he said, you be right there on that certain spot. And when they threw that backslidden preacher overboard, can I tell you that whale was right where he needs to be, thank God. Many of God's servants are not where God wants them to be. The reason we don't have many whale of a servants today is because people are not where God wants them to be. You say, what are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about Sunday morning in Sunday school. I'm talking about Sunday morning in church. I'm talking about Wednesday night prayer meeting and Thursday night visitation. I'm talking about being at the place where God wants you and wants me to be. Amen. When I think about that this morning, I think about all those servants in the Bible that were not where God wanted them to be. Why, even Jonah here in this book, Jonah's not where God wants him to be. He's not supposed to be on a ship going down to Tarsus. He's supposed to be over in Nineveh preaching the Word of God. Amen. You say, what happened to Jonah? He got in trouble, amen. Can I tell you, when you're not where you're supposed to be, you're going to get in trouble with God, amen. I think about Elijah, that great servant of God. I think about Elijah, how that he was up on the mountaintop, and how that he stood there and withstood the false prophets of Baal. I think about how God used him on that day. But in verse chapter 19, he's under a juniper tree, and then in a cave. Do you remember what God said to him? What doest thou here, Elijah? I'm wondering how many times God looks at His servants and said, what doest thou here? Amen. What are you doing here? You're supposed to be over there. Amen. I think about Elijah. He's not where God wants him to be. You say, what happened to him? He got depressed. Can I tell you why some of people are so depressed? They're not where God wants them to be. Amen. Someone said, preacher, they're always asking me this. Preacher, do you do counseling? Yes, 3 times a week, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. And if you'll be there and hear the counseling, you won't need much other counseling if you'll do what God says. Amen. He was depressed. Jonah got in trouble. Now think about Peter. He's supposed to be over there helping the Lord. Where's he at? He's warming himself by the devil's fire. He's trying to warm himself by the fires of the world. He's not where he's supposed to be. You say, what happened to him? Did he get in trouble? Yes. What happened to him? Did he get depressed? Yes. What happened to him? He got cold. Can I tell you that many of God's people are cold? You don't need a new pastor. You don't need a new Bible. You don't need new songbooks. You don't need another church. You just need to get in the place where that God wants you to be. Amen. And get right with God. And let the fire begin to burn inside of you once again. Amen. Lord Jesus. I think about Peter. And he's cold. But I think about that whale. He's right where, I don't know where he come from, but he's right where God wants him to be all that day. If he hadn't have been, it'd been too bad for Jonah. I remember one Wednesday, Thursday night, we met for visitation like we do. I make up the list like I do. I had several names on that list that we were going to go see that night. But a lot of people didn't turn out. We didn't have enough to go everywhere. So we could only go to so many places. Before Sunday of that week, somebody on that list would have died and went out to meet God. And you know, I thought about somebody was supposed to be there on visitation on that Thursday night. And because somebody wasn't there where they were supposed to be, a man died without receiving a gospel invitation one more time before he left this world. Amen. I'm telling you, it's important as servants of God that we are in the place where that God wants us to be. Amen. Young preacher told me the other day, he said, pastor, he said, I don't think I want a church. I don't think I want a pastor. I said, well, son, they told me when I started, it didn't much matter what we wanted. It's what he wanted. If he wants us to be somewhere we need to be. This was a well of a servant because he was placed by the Lord. But I'm thinking about that real whale of a servant. I'm thinking about the Lord Jesus. I'm glad He was always in the place where He was supposed to be. Amen. I'm glad, glory to God, that on that day of all days, that he was in the womb of a little virgin, getting ready to be birthed in the right place, thank God. I'm glad he was there in Bethlehem of Judea on that first Christmas Eve, thank God. I'm glad that he's always in the place where that he always needs to be, amen. I'm glad on that morning when John the Baptist is doing baptisms, I'm glad he's where he's supposed to be. I'm glad he's down by the riverside. I'm glad that he said, John, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou unto me. I'm glad he was at the right place, thank God. I'm glad, glory to God, that he was at the right place. The Bible said when he had came to the place, that he knelt down there in the Garden of Gethsemane. And I'm glad he was at the right place, glory to God, praying for you and praying for me on that day. I'm glad, glory to God, that he was at the right place on that day when the Bible said, and when they had come to the place called Calvary, there he was, thank God. Oh, glory to God. I'm glad that Jesus is always at the right place, thank God. I'm glad 3 days after that, he's at the right place. You say, is he in the tomb? Oh, no, he's not supposed to be in the tomb. Because he said on the third day, he said, I will rise again. Amen. I'm glad he's at the right place. I'm glad this morning he's at the right place. You say, where's he at? Seated right by his Father, waiting to come back and get his church, glory to God. He's always at the right place. What a servant. Well of a servant. Jesus. He's always at the right place. He was prepared by the Lord. But then, this well of a servant, he was pleasing to the Lord. You say, Brother Rick, what verse in Jonah says he was pleasing to the Lord? It ain't in Jonah. But the reason I know that this well of a servant was pleasing to the Lord is because 900 years later, give or take a little bit, Jesus is still talking about him, amen. Thank God, I'm glad that the Lord Jesus was still talking about this well over in Matthew's gospel, praise the Lord. Still talking about him. Amen. 900 years later, no whale's gone, carcass laying probably on the bottom of the ocean, but Jesus is still talking about him. There's three things about that whale of a servant, Brother Tommy, that I thought about. Number one, he swallowed down what God told him to swallow down. God said, I want you to swallow down that preacher. Can I tell you that backslidden preacher is not, it's pretty hard to swallow down. Can I tell you that backslidden preacher, that'll make you gag, that'll make you choke up. And God said, I want you to swallow down Jonah. He's a backslidden preacher. And the Bible said he swallowed him up, the Bible says. It doesn't say swallowed him down, but he swallowed him up, the Bible said. Because when he swallowed him down, he's on the way up, amen. I tell you, when God swallows us up in troubles and problems, we're on the way up, amen. When he swallows us down with sickness and chastisement, can I tell you, we're on the way up, glory to God. He swallowed down what God told him to swallow down. Can I tell you this morning, a great servant of God swallows what the Lord tells him to swallow. And it's not always easy. Sometimes these preachers say hard things, but God tells them to say it. You say, it's hard for me to take it. Yes, and it's hard for us to give it. Can I tell you, we don't delight in preaching the hard things of the Lord. We wish people to live right and do right and serve God, that we didn't have to preach on the hard things of the Lord. But they said, those disciples turned and went away from Jesus because they said, this is a hard saying. And they said, who can take it? Can I tell you, a great servant of the Lord, they'll take hard preaching. Thank God for people like this. I thank God for churches. People preach at my church, and I don't know how many's told me. They said, preacher, your folks, they can take hard preaching. I said, yes, sir, they can take it. I said, they may not do it, but they can take it, thank God. Swallowed it down. Some people get choked on what God gives them. I heard Dana Williams preaching a great message. He was preaching about that man that Jesus spit in his eyes. And he said, Jesus spit in his face. And he said, that's a disgusting thing. That's a sickening thing. And he said, I can see that man saying, Jesus, why did you spit in my face? I can see. I can see. I can see. Can I tell you, Jesus sometimes looks like just spits in your face. But I tell you, when you wipe it away, you're going to see Father that you've ever seen before, glory to God. You swallowed it down. You get mad and run off every time the preacher says something kind of hard to take. You'll never amount to nothing for God. You got to swallow it down with the bitter and the sweet. Amen. He swallowed it down. But then I tell you something else he did. He spit it up. He kept it down, but God said, spit it up. And he spit it up right at the right place. He got him as close to Nineveh as he could get him. Can I tell you, some of God's people, they won't swallow down when God says swallow down. And then they won't spit up when God says spit up. The Lord said, of all the words that I've given you, diminish none. Preach what I give you. Spit it up, boy. Can I tell you, we get down at the Cracker Barrel or somewhere, and God says, I'll give them a track. Spit it up, boy. I don't care what they look like, who they are. Spit it up. And if we're going to be a servant of the Lord, we have to do what God says do. Amen. Amen. I tell you what I like about this whale. Not only did he swallow down, he spit up. But don't miss this. When he gets done doing all that God told him to do, he just swims off. He didn't shoot a stream up in the air and say, look at me, I just spit the preacher out. He didn't say, look how God used me. He just swims off, and you don't hear nothing else said about him until Jesus talks about him. I tell you, after 28 years of preaching, I've learned that it's not the whistle that pulls a train, but it's them wheels back there chugging, amen. I tell you, after 28 years, I've learned that just because the horn blows doesn't mean the tank's full, amen. I want you to know that, glory to God, that he just swims off. That's humility, amen. But Jesus is a whale of a servant. He's the real servant. You say, why? He swallowed down some things, didn't he? Tell us who you are. He didn't say a word. He's like a lamb. He swallowed down some stuff, didn't he? And he spit up some things, didn't he? Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. He spit up some things, didn't he? You're forgiven. Go thy way and sin no more, lest the worst thing come upon you. Oh, glory to God. He swallowed down some things and he spit up some things. But the Bible said he made himself of no reputation. It wasn't Jesus that said, I'm a great servant. Isaiah said, God said through Isaiah, behold my servant. The Bible says in Proverbs, it says in verse 20, chapter 27, verse 2, let not thine own lips praise thee, but the lips of another. It wasn't Jesus that said, I'm his son in whom he's well pleased, but it was his Father that spoke out from heaven and said, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased, Lord of God. I tell you, it was his Father that was bragging on him, amen. Can I tell you, I'm done. He went away. He's been gone. Can I tell you that it's not Jesus bragging on himself today? He said, not let your own lips praise you, but the lips of another. You and I are the other. We're to be praising him. We're to be telling what a great servant he is. What a great Savior he is. What a great coming King he is. We're to be praising the Lord. Amen. Not ourselves. The well of a servant. Jesus. The Son of God, amen. Glory to God. Thank you. God bless you. Amen.